Hey, today my guest is Nick Schiffer. He is the owner of NS Builders out in Boston, Massachusetts, and he's got some amazing things going on, and we dig into a little of that today. In particular, we talk about his journey of how he started his business, how he has used social media to pretty much bring in all his leads now. I mean, the guy's got over 63,000 followers on Instagram, gets tons of engagement, gets tons of work. And so he's going to let us behind the curtain a little bit of how he does that. All right. And then also check out the show notes, because he also runs a podcast called the Modern Craftsman Podcast that you're going to want to check out as well, if in fact you are a craftsman. So without further ado, please welcome Nick Schiffer. So Nick, how you doing today?
I'm well, man. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, well, listen, I have to ask you. I'm from outside of Chicago, and there was a Schiffer Builders outside of Chicago about an hour. Any relation to you?
No, not at all. That's actually really funny. I've only heard my last name a handful of times, but so to hear Schiffer Builders, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's the first time I saw your name a year and a half ago or so. I thought it was the same guy for some reason. But anyway, that's a side note. So listen, I appreciate you making some time to hang with us today at the Contractor Fight. And
totally.
I've been following your stuff for quite a while now, and knew that I needed to get you on. And what kind of, just for those of you that are tuning in now and listening, you know, Nick's the owner of NS Builders, and you're also the co-host of the Modern Craftsman podcast. And
yep.
What really jumped out at me is the social media following that you've seemed to achieve over the past, I don't know how long you've been at it, but I'm staring at your Instagram account, for instance, right now, and you have over 63,000 sure. followers there. So tell us, before we get into that, tell us a little bit about something that we might not have covered in the bio about you.
I mean, my story, to me, it's pretty basic, but when I was a child, I always enjoyed building stuff and taking stuff apart and putting it back together. It's a very cliche story, I think, but I was very driven to being a carpenter, and I think it had a lot to do with, my father owned a residential fence company, but he would always have projects going on at the house, in which he hired out, and he would, you know, general contract, and he basically just kind of be the PM and have work being done on the home. And I was obsessed with it. I'd come home from school, I'd change my outfit to, you know, some overalls and put my work boots on, and I would just sit there and watch people work on, you know, our house. And it kind of evolved from there to when I was old enough to go down to, you know, whether it was construction sites down the street and I could see how homes being built. I was kind of always obsessed with the industry. But as soon as I figured out how to sell my first project, I did, and I was about 15 years old. There's a bio on my website that talks about this story of me being dropped off in my mother's minivan and building my first shed for my first client. And it just snowballed there. So it just, I really loved being a carpenter, and at one point I realized that, you know, this is what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. And I was going to build a business, not just around me being a carpenter, but bringing in guys that really want to showcase their craft and help them do so.
So tell me real quick, what'd you charge for that shed?
I honestly think it was probably, I feel like it was $2,500, which when I'm 15 years old, that's a lot of money, but
yeah.
I probably put like, I don't know, $800 in my pocket, and, you know, I think it was like a 10x12 T111 shed. I built it with hand tools, took me like 2.5 weeks, but, you know, she got a great shed out of it, and I was well on my way to selling about 25 more of them. So
that's awesome, man. That's awesome. And that, like you said, $800 for a 15-year-old is pretty sweet, and you're doing what you love.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I know, part of your story is you ended up working for a large developer for a while, and you kind of built, NS Builders at the same time. Tell us a little bit about that. How did that grind happen?
Well, prior to that, I worked for my father's company from the time I was 11 years old to the time I was 22. And because I remember it being 11 years. But when I graduated college, because my mother in general really pushed me to go to college. And so I did. I kind of entertained that. And throughout the first year, I wasn't totally sold on it, but I knew I wasn't going to quit. So I graduated college, and about 2 weeks after I graduated, I got a call from this big developer in Boston. And at the time, I've never really been to Boston besides the handful of times I went with my family. So I had immediately denied. I said, listen, I owe it to my dad to stick around for at least a year until I figure out what I'm doing. I just graduated. I don't want to jump into anything. I appreciate their offer, but no thanks. They called me back 2 weeks later and said, listen, I understand your position, but just come in. We just want to talk to you. It's not no pressure. So I was like, all right, no, whatever. I'll take the ride in. So my interview was at 9:30. No one could tell me how long it was going to take me to get to Boston, which I only live 15 miles away. And I left at like 6 o'clock in the morning. And so I was there at probably, I don't know, 8 o'clock or like an hour and a half early. But whatever, I give the guy a call. I said, hey, listen, I'm early if you'd like to meet earlier. And he said, sure, come on up. Went in the office. I shook his hand. And the first comment he made was like, your hands are filthy. And immediately I'm like, well, this is going well. And he's like, no, that's a good thing. I like guys that have real world experience. I don't want someone that doesn't work. And I was like, all right. So we chatted for a little while, and they ran through like questions and explained what they were trying to fulfill. And then another gentleman came in the room and sat there for about 20 minutes asking me why I didn't want to work for my dad anymore. And I was like, I'm not sure. Like, this isn't, I don't know. And I kept trying to make excuses. And finally, he just kept asking the same question over and over. And I was like, well, I think me and my dad have different views on how a business should be run. He goes, all right, I'm done with this interview, and walked out. And I was like, what in the world just happened? And then the other guy that brought me in said, listen, that he was testing you. I'm like, this is so weird. I don't think I'm cut out for this. They ended up calling me back, offering me a job for a significant amount of money. And it was, more for being right out of college. It was, I was going to be making more right off the bat than anyone else I graduated with. So I ended up taking the job. I gave my dad a month notice, and I went to work for them as an assistant, actually as a temp, then to assistant superintendent, then to an assistant PM, all within about 3.5 years, to the point where I was basically the lead guy for the owner / general contractor for a high rise project in downtown Boston. And it was fun. It was great. It was super cool to see that side of the business, but I just wasn't getting the fulfillment out of it. So I started doing NS Builders on the side, and I was renovating kitchens at night where people would move out of their home, or I was doing projects, on the weekend, or, any of my free time, to the point where I started averaging about 60 hours a week, my full-time job, and 40 to 50 hours a week on the side. So, and maintaining a relationship with my at the time girlfriend, now wife. But I remember having a conversation with her, and she was like, Nick, you need to pick one or the other. You can't do this for the rest of your life. And it was about that time where I went into back to work, and I called my boss and I gave him a month notice, and they were like floored and they didn't know why. And they asked what I was doing. And I said, listen, I'm going to start my own business. This is why. And it went some back and forth. There was some negotiation. They offered me a bunch of money to stay, and I just ended up saying no, because I knew my heart wanted to do my own thing. And they left it open as, if it doesn't work out in a month, a year, 3 years, whatever it is, call us, your job's here.
Wow, that's pretty sweet.
At that point, it was like, I have zero to lose here. Like, I have every opportunity to start it and try it. And if it doesn't work, I can go back to what I was doing. So I did. I jumped ship. The architect that was working on that high rise project had just bought a home that he wanted to do a full gut renovation on, and we had a very great relationship in our work environment. And he offered. He said, "Are you interested in looking at the job?" And you know, I had some work lined up, but that was going to be my first full gut renovation, and I jumped right into it. Mm-hmm. And it, I mean, it sucked a lot of time. It was a huge learning experience. You know, I was at the time just by myself, and I was hiring a helper here and there. And it was great, but that just allowed me, that got me into a network of better people in the industry, and then just kind of, again, snowballed from there and into developing what NS Builders is today.
Well, that's pretty sweet, man. And I know, I know that's a grind when you're, you know, 60 hours at one job and, you know, same amount of time at another job. I remember when I first started my first painting company years ago, I had a big project that I had to get done. People bought a house. It was empty. It was like a 4,000 square foot home that I had to have repainted by Monday morning, and they closed on Friday. And I was rolling up and waiting for my patches to dry while I took a 20 minute nap, rolled up in a drop cloth, you know? So, I mean, it's, a lot of guys that are listening to this can relate to what you're talking about there. So you jumped into a little bit here about what NS Builders has become. And like sure. I said, at the top of this thing, I'd love to learn a little bit about how you approach, marketing. You know, this is, at the time of this recording, you know, we're October of 2017, so we're getting into that time of year where in certain regions of the country, the lead flow dips down. Guys start going, oh my God, I didn't do any marketing for my business. Now what do I do? Blah, blah, blah. Right. And so this is the time of year where actually my email and messenger on social media always blows up with guys going, I don't know what to do to get any more work now. And so how have you approached marketing over the past couple years to be able to build what you have now?
Sure. I mean, first off, I definitely feel fortunate enough where the winter's really never, you know, taken a toll on work for me or workflow. I've always maintained a steady income of work. I don't know if that's by chance or if it's just because of a successful marketing approach, but to speak to my marketing approach, I mean, in the beginning, it was strictly just word of mouth, and there was a sense of pride to it. And I think a lot of guys can relate to that, is that, you know, oh, I don't spend any money on marketing. It's all word of mouth because our work is so good. And that's, I mean, I totally understand that. And I was there at one point, but now I, you know, especially in, you know, the era that we are with social media, you know, I am very, very much, I try to be on the forefront of that. And I utilize social media, you know, to my benefit, and not, and I'm going to speak not just to marketing, but even for hiring guys or finding some contractors, there's a, you know, I'm able to vet a lot of clients, contractors, you know, potential hires all through social media. You know, if anyone, you know, if I can put a post up and say, hey, I'm looking for help, I'll get 30 applicants, and I can immediately dive to every one of their accounts. And if they're super passionate about what they do, or maybe they're already a carpenter and they're sharing what they do, I like that. I want guys that love what they do and that share what they do. So that's a, you know, that's a green check mark when I go to meet them at a coffee shop for that initial, you know, that initial meeting. But from a marketing standpoint, I think, you know, I like to approach it in slightly different manner than, say, maybe my parents' generation did, where they were very competitive with their neighbors. You know, everyone kept their trade secrets, didn't want to share how they did something. And while that was successful for them in the midst of it, you know, say that company decides to, or say that the owner dies or someone passes the company on, all those secrets are lost. And no one knows how to run that company as successful as the person that developed that secret. Where my approach is, I'm going to share everything we do. I'm going to share everything we do on our project. I'm going to share our sources from these crazy materials that we might use. I'll share how we built, how we're building certain things. And I'm going to be transparent in that, because you know, my thought is, from a contractor to contractor, you know, I want my neighbor to, I don't want there to be a gap between the really good guys and the really bad guys, because it makes it difficult for the middle class to, you know, hire contractors. They're either stuck choosing guys from the bottom of the barrel, or they're, you know, they're using all their financial power to just get a small renovation done because the good guys can charge that. Yeah. So if I'm, you know, if we're sharing everything we're doing, and we're essentially helping all the guys under us learn and grow their business to be as successful or as innovative as us, it's better for the industry. But also what it does is it keeps us innovating, meaning that we're constantly having to innovate, because if we're not innovating, then everyone's just going to surpass, you know, pass us. And then it's just, you know, we're teaching everyone exactly what we know. And then now we're all in the exact same, you know, stage, where if we're, you know, we're promoting what we do, here's how we do it. But when you figure out how we do it, we're already going to be on to the next thing. Now, from a customer standpoint, we also do the same thing. And a lot of people say, well, if you're going to teach your customer how to, whatever, how to install casing around, you know, a window, you know, I can walk them through the exact process that we do it, and they can step by step, you know, follow our instructions, do it. And the argument is, well, if you're going to show them, why would they hire you?
Right.
But my argument back is, well, they probably weren't going to hire us anyway if they're a do-it-yourself kind of person. I mean, anyone that's going to do it themselves is probably not going to pay someone, you know, a fair rate to come in and do it. So I'd rather the clients know how our process, how we do it, because when they see the end result and then they walk into their friend's home and see a different result, their understanding of the value of what we brought to them. And
really, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, and that the transparency in what we do, and being able to walk through like all those details, they have a better appreciation for it. And, you know, from a billing standpoint, when they appreciate and understand the work that goes in, the work and the effort that goes into what we do, there's never a question on, you know, when we invoice.
Absolutely. You know, you've used the word transparency a couple times, and really the biggest thing you're doing here is you're letting people behind the curtain, and you're showing them how mm-hmm. you do things. And I remember a number of years ago when I first started blogging with my old painting company back outside of Chicago, I had this guy call me up, and I knock on his door. You know, I go out and meet with him. I knock on his door. And I said, hey, what's up? Why am I here? And he goes, well, funny story. And I'm like, uh-oh, here we go. He says, about a year ago, I was removing wallpaper in my son's room. And it wasn't coming down. So I went to Google and I asked Google how to remove wallpaper. And some article that you wrote came up. And I just did what it said. And the wallpaper came right off. And he says, then about 4 months ago, my son opened the door really hard, put the doorknob through the wall. And, you know, I'm terrible at drywall repair. So I went ahead and I Googled how to fix drywall, and some other article that you had written on how to fix drywall was there, and I did it and it worked. And I interrupted him and I said, well, hey, listen, you know, it sounds like you're kind of somebody who does his own stuff. Well, what am I doing here now? And this is the interesting point is when I really got it, what sharing your content and being transparent, all that stuff can do. Is he said, well, it was either him or his wife that was just getting transferred for work, and they had a couple of weeks to get the house on the market, and the whole thing mm-hmm. needed to be painted. And he goes, I just don't have time to get this thing on the market. I don't have time to get it ready. It's too big. We got too many things going on. So I just figured that you were the one to call, because every time I went online, you were the one standing there. And so what we have done, and what you've done, is you've established yourself as the expert in your industry. And experts, experts get invited to speak at things. They can charge more money. You know, they get more leads, they get more referrals, and all those things. And so I'm kind of going on a soapbox here, because I want our listeners to understand the reasoning behind sharing how you do things behind the scenes, because it elevates you to that expert status.
Yeah, Right. I mean, if you go into a room and there's three contractors and there's a client in front of you and they all ask you, well, how are you going to paint this room? And one says, well, that's a trade secret. Mm-hmm. And the other one says, well, you know, we don't disclose that. It's just, we're just going to paint it and it's going to be blue. And then the third one says, well, what we're going to do is we're going to prep all the walls by filling all the holes. And then we're going to use an oil primer. And the reason we're using an oil primer is because of this. And then we'll do a two coat system. We're probably going to spray the ceiling and the trim and then back roll. When that client can be driven that because you, exactly what you said, you are presenting yourself as the expert in that field.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It makes a big difference.
So, all right, this Instagram thing.
Yeah.
All right. You get a lot of people that are on there doing stuff and, you know, most of them are probably have no strategy, have no plan behind what they're doing. What mm-hmm. can you give us, what can you share with us about, first of all, how you've grown to get so many eyeballs on your stuff, over 63,000 on your Instagram account, but then how has that impacted your sales and revenue? What has that done for your business?
I'm going to go on a little bit of a tear here because I get this question a lot. But the first thing I want to say about Instagram is that I'm constantly trying to adapt and learn where my audience is and shift my audience. So for right now, I can tell you that my analytics are telling me that I'm 19% women and 81% male. And which is great because that means I'm connecting with a lot of guys and probably a lot of contractors. But there's a huge market of women, you know, household decision makers. I mean, that market I need to tap into. And what I do is I'm focusing on the other profiles that people or females tend to follow in our industry. And what they are is it's usually heavily, the content is heavily around, final product or finished spaces or interior design or, basically a completed space, which a lot of us as contractors don't always get to see. We get to see it done, but not furnished and not, those magazine quality shots. So there's a heavy part of me that spends a lot of time with professional photography and trying to get, those final shots of projects. But so the few tips that I use, right, is number one, the consistency, and I preach this all the time, and it's probably redundant to a lot of the listeners, but consistency is really huge. And what I mean by that is, I try for 3 to 4 posts a day, which is a lot, and it's a lot of work, and it's a lot of effort. It's a lot of taking pictures. It's a lot of going through pictures. Then it's, writing a quick little blurb about that picture, and staying consistent with that. But more importantly, if you're going to do one a day, or if you're going to do two a day, try to stick to, posting them at the same time and staying consistent with what you're trying to preach. So, you could probably funnel through my feed and see how I've kind of veered off track a little bit, testing out like some more video or some more of the motivational stuff or from the business side. But I always come back to, here's our process and here's what it looks like when it's done. And that's mm-hmm. done the best for me. So consistency with timing and how much you post is huge, but also what your photos look like. So if you're constantly doing, full shots of rooms, like the entire room, and it's well lit, try to stick to that and maybe filter in a few up close shots. And if you're constantly doing, millwork, if you're a millwork contractor, those up close shots of, that apron detail around the casing and how your reveal is consistent, or that scribe against, the wonky wall that you're running baseboard against, or you want to become the professional in your field. So sharing from a media side or from photos and video, sharing your approach at that and sharing why you guys are the best millwork contractor or painting contractor. If showing those up close, color, like the ceiling to wall transition, no tape, perfect cut line, like we're taking, or check out the the trim that you guys, you know, that we sprayed. This is all, you know, sprayed with a Graco sprayer, or whatever, you know, kind of walk them through. This is our product, and this is why it's so good, and this is how we made it so good. But so the consistency is huge, but also the quality of it. I mean, taking it, you know, say you do one a day, take 5-10 minutes at the end of every day and clean up the job site a little bit and take a couple shots. I mean, it doesn't take a lot of time to grab a couple photos of your work. But what's really going to drive people to do that is when they're passionate about it and when they love what they do. So if you're in it for the wrong reason, you're likely not going to be posting on Instagram anyway. I mean, right. That's my mentality, is that if you're just doing it because you have to, you probably don't have enough passion or drive in it to care about what it looks like enough to take photos of it. But if you do, you know, spend that extra couple minutes before you head home for the night and take a couple photos of it and clean up the job site and make it look good and talk about why it looks good or what the effort that you put into that product.
Hey, have you been pounding the pavement for years in your business, wondering why things maybe aren't getting any better? There's a chance that you just might need some more business education. One of the biggest struggles, biggest problems I see across the board with all contractors is not your work ethic. It's not that you wake up early and you work late and you have this monster energy, you hustle, all that stuff. That's not the problem. The problem is, a lot of times you don't have the business IQ to help you take advantage of that monster work ethic that you have. And that's why we created Accelerate. If you go to thecontractorfight.com/accelerate, you'll learn more about our self-directed learning platform for you as a contractor. You'll have access to a membership site, over 100 videos, weekly lessons, monthly topics, worksheets, spreadsheets, all the education that you need under one roof to help you build a stronger business. So head to thecontractorfight.com/accelerate today and join several dozen other contractors around the country who are raising their business IQ and growing stronger businesses. So I'm sitting here looking, I think that's where you're just about to go. I'm sitting here looking at one of your posts right now. It's got, you know, almost 2,300 likes, and it was from September 15th. It's this built-in that you made.
Yep.
And tons of engagement, things like that, which is rare, because usually the engagement most of us get on our Instagram account is somebody going, great post, you know, and they're spamming right. You and all that stuff. And so and then I look at your hashtags and I notice that you have, you know, fine home building and design and designer and Cambridge and all these other things. Talk to us a little bit about that hashtag strategy that you got going here.
I mean, hashtags are huge, especially when you're not known. So like that's one way to become known. And, you know, I believe Instagram allows 30 hashtags, and, you know, I try to utilize all of them. And what I do is I try to hit some of the core markets, meaning like Boston's going to have millions of views to that. And I'm going to try to get into Boston, because if someone else is searching Boston, I might pop up in that. You know, and your goal is to, I mean, for growth, your goal would be to be in the top post, but in the top post of larger, I mean, I can do hashtag best built in Cambridge, Mass, and there's probably zero other hashtags. So of course I'm going to be number one, the only post in that, and also the top post. But if I'm going after larger markets, such as hashtag Boston, and I have a ton of engagement and people really start, you know, engaging in it with that photo, it's going to push me up in the ranking on hashtag Boston. So I might hit that top post, and that's going to be, you know, promoted when someone's on there, you know, people you might know or the account that you should follow, based on people's interest. If someone's interested in Boston, it may pop up in there. But utilizing all those hashtags, such as, you know, if it's local, you know, if it's depending on the city, if I'm in a specific town, Massachusetts, also carpet, like where it's carpentry work or it's woodworking, it's wood, it's cabinetry, it's built-ins, it's, you know, reclaimed wood. You know, we are builders where, you know, trying to utilize all of them. And I mean, feel free to scroll through. You'll notice that primarily the first 20 or 19 of my hashtags are pretty consistent. And then I leave the last 11 to be, you know, filtered based on the project. So, you know, there's ones I'm always going to want to hit, but then there's 11 of them that I hit based on what the photo is, because I don't want to hashtag light, you know, follow for follow like that. I'm not going that route. I want to actually engage with people that are interested in what we're putting out.
Right. So tell us a story. Tell us a story about how, you know, and I would imagine, you know, doing what you do, you've got hashtags like, design designer, interior interiors, interior design. Tell us a story of how maybe an influencer, a designer found you through this and what that led to for you.
So, I mean, to be honest, almost all of our work is somehow now derived from social media. And yeah, there's now repeat clients, but they have stemmed from social media in the beginning. And because, you know, designers and architects, they're very visually oriented, I mean, visually driven. So when they're seeing another contractor taking a lot of pride in the details and the craftsmanship of their project, you know, they want to connect with us because, hey, listen, we have this project. You see, you know, you guys weigh heavily on craftsmanship and quality. You know, are you interested in chatting about an upcoming project? And this is on a constant basis. We'll get at least an email a day, or at least a couple a week saying, hey, we follow you on Instagram. You know, we're a design firm or we're a client in the city that you work in. We'd love to chat with you about a project. And the engagement with real time clients is very real for us. But working that B2B, like designer, architect, and us, is great because they're in this to produce a really high quality product for their client, and they need a contractor to execute. You know, they can do a really great job with the design, and if it's the wrong contractor, you know, it's not going to come out the way that they're envisioning. So for us to be utilize that transparency, but also utilize, you know, our social media and showing how much we really care about the project makes a big difference to them and puts a lot of faith in us with them.
Well, it's back to that expert status we were talking about. You know, if they're a designer or some design firm, you know, and I've worked with those firms, you know, there were places that had 15, 20 designers working all over the country. And, you know, I didn't use Instagram. It was a long time ago, you know, before that. But once you get in the door with them, and you take care of one of those designers, the next thing you know, you're bidding on another project for somebody else. And it all comes down to, you know, them perceiving you as the industry expert. And, you know, it's the consistency. I mean, there's so many things that you've said that are just incredibly basic, but we always blow it on the basics. You know, the blocking and tackling of your business is be consistent, show up.
Right.
You know,
when
see the
consistency.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not just social media. I mean, it's with everything. Like you just were saying, it's consistency in general. But if, you know, people always ask, how do I succeed on social media? Well, all the core values on how you succeed in business should be the same on social media, should be the same in execution, should be the same in your hiring process. And like everything, like you said, is very basic. It's just realizing that it's, you know, however much effort you're willing to put into it will directly relate to how much success you have out of it.
All right, here we go. There's a guy listening to this right now, maybe two, that are thinking, I don't have time to do all this. I don't have time to take these pictures. I don't have time to do this. What do you tell that guy?
Sure. See, this is a loaded question, and I'm going to try to keep it as simple as possible. But the guys that say that they don't have time for it, they're usually in two different areas. One, they're not looking to grow their business or grow their network, and they're they're content with the amount of work that they have, and maybe phasing out and not looking to make any, you know, leave a legacy or any of that, that's fine. That this isn't for, like, they're listening probably for entertainment, and that's it. Like, they're not looking for advice. If you're looking for advice to grow your business, social media is going to be your best investment because of the little financial investment it takes. You know, you could go out and spend $8,000 on a billboard, or you could spend a couple $100 to promote a couple Facebook ads and maybe 2 hours worth of your time over the course of like a couple weeks. So 2 hours worth of your time, even if you're $100 an hour, this, what, $200 plus a couple $100 on Facebook ads, and you're hitting way more people, and you can, you know, control the exact person that you do hit. I mean, the excuse that you don't have time is that you don't want to have the time. Your focus is somewhere else. You want to be home earlier. You want to go to the bar. You'd rather clean up, like leave early on a Friday. Like, it's just an excuse that you don't want to. It's not that you don't physically have the time. You do have the time. You're just not making it.
What I love about the contracting world is you think of all the different types of projects you're on. You think of, I mean, back when I had, you know, my painting company in Chicago, we were doing 300 plus jobs a year. That was at least 300 opportunities to share our story, you know, right, and to be consistent with that. So the amount of content that the average contractor can put out, shoot, even on one job, you might be doing something in the cabinets in this room and something on a vanity in the other room. And you might be installing crown in the den or whatever, and you've got multiple opportunities every single day just to snap a picture, tell your story, be consistent, because that consistency also shows the consumer or the influencer, you know, B2B person in your area that, hey, we're working, we're good, we're here, we're not going anywhere. You know, we're not just a flash in the pan. So, in some ways that was a loaded question, but I think so many guys, I think it comes down to they don't see this as marketing their business because they're always looking for that quick fix, that easy button, you know, where I just do something and then the phone rings. How long was it before you got your first lead from social media? Like, how long had you been going after it?
Remember that. When I did my first project, that full gut house for the architect, I started on Instagram, but it was more of just, you know, I'm new in business. I just want to share what I'm doing every day. You know, here's what I do. You know, if you like it, you like it. And then I remember my second project, I got a call saying, hey, we saw you on Instagram. You guys hashtag something that we did. We'd love to chat with you because it looks like you do quality work. And right at that moment, I was like, wait a second. I didn't even realize that I could be hitting potential clients or designers with this platform. It was immediate, like within the first 6 months of being in business, when I got that first call based on something that they saw online, I totally took it 100% seriously. And from there, I was like, all right, I need to make sure I'm taking pictures all the time, because every time I do, I expect there to be a handful of potential clients that are looking at that photo. And that's one thing I want to also hit on, is try to, you know, take quality photos. That's super important, but just start doing it. Like, scroll way back. My photos sucked in the beginning, but I was still consistent because you still don't overthink that, you know. You need to put out content. You don't not put out content because the picture's lighting isn't perfect. You'll get there. You'll eventually develop a system like you do every other part of your business, and it will become second nature to figure out how to take a better photo. Or at some point, maybe you bring in a photographer once a month to go around and shoot all your photos, all your jobs, and you have enough photos for the whole month. I mean, just start doing it, and the system will develop as you see success out of it. But to answer that question, it was very early on in my business that I realized, you know, once I got that first call, I need to make this a part of our day to day.
So let's say somebody's listening to this, that's a specialty contractor, you know, they're a painter, they're a drywaller, whatever, and there's a builder like you in their area or a design firm or whatever that's on Instagram, what would you tell that contractor about how to go about using Instagram to actually prospect or reach out to connect to that person or that company?
So one thing people need to realize, and this goes with builders and everyone, is that there's almost always a human on the other side of that platform. And whether it's 60,000 followers or 1,000 followers or 10 million followers, there's always a human connected to that other side. So just open a conversation. Don't come in with a right hook and try to sell me off the bat saying, hey, love your work, follow my page. It's like that, you're not putting any time into it. Or, hey, I just followed your page. I would, hire us to do your painting next time. It's like, well, you're not providing any value to me. All you're doing is getting my attention and then immediately asking for something. So I would say engage with them. If you're a designer and looking at, you connect with the contractor, say, hey, I'm a local designer. I've been following you guys for a little while. I love your work. I'd love the opportunity to sit down and maybe chat about working together. I'm always open for that. I meet with people weekly. It's, whether it's, hey, I'm a designer or I'm a painting contractor and we specialize in high-end painting and we work in your area. Would you care to swing by one job and see how see our process? Offer, if you're going to start the conversation, offer something for them, meaning that, give me a reason to come out to your job or give me a reason to get on the phone or grab coffee with you and see if we connect on a personal level. Because if we connect that way, then we can start possibly talking about developing a professional relationship.
People make so much, they make such a big deal about reaching out to other contractors or companies that, can potentially work together. My go-to line was always, if I was driving down the road and I saw a remodeling contractor that didn't know me yet and I didn't know them, I would literally pull over, and I would go into the job site and I would just find the boss man and I would go, hey, listen, you build stuff, I paint stuff. I just thought we should know each other.
Yeah.
And it was that simple. It was just that quick take action, reach out. I wasn't saying hire me. I'm just saying, hey, would it make sense for us to have a conversation?
Right. People think too much about it. I think, when they're going to send the message or an email or a DM, they think too much. I'll get messages all the time. Like, hey, you probably won't get this cause you have such a big following, but I'd love to chat with you about this. Hmm. And I try to stay right up on it. I'll reply immediately. And they're like, oh, I didn't realize you'd answer. It's like, well, I know that there's probably 10 of the people that have that same thought that don't reach out. And I'd rather them all reach out, because if you're going to message me and say, hey, I paint stuff, I'm going to be like, great, let's see some of the stuff you paint. Does it jive with the product that we want to put out? Hey, maybe it does. Maybe my painter just disappeared on me and I have a job that I need to fulfill and I don't have any leads. And you might be the next best person to contact. Just open the conversation, there's going to be, you might not get a response from the majority of them or might not get a project from the majority of them, but that shouldn't deter you from connecting with as many people as possible. I'm constantly trying to connect with people, even if it's just from an informational standpoint, like, hey, let's just chat. You're a builder, I'm a builder. Maybe we can help each other.
One of the things you said there about, my painter might disappear for a while or whatever that trade is. In someone in your position who uses multiple trades and all this other stuff, you can't have too many good companies on the bench. You know what I mean? We can't have too many. You can never have a deep enough bench because you never know what's going to hit somebody's business or what's going to hit your business. And so the more quote experts that you have on your team, and you're upfront about that. You're like, I remember doing work for a guy once. His painter had been with him for, 30 years. And he told me, he's like, hey, we're loyal. And I'm like, hey, I'm good with that. But listen, if something falls through, he can't get to a punch list or whatever, just know you got a decent plan B to fill in the gap for you. And that ended up being a foot in the door for me. And we ended up taking on a percentage of that guy's work down the road when the guy who'd been in business for 30 years started downsizing because he was going to retire.
Exactly.
So you never know how this thing's going to play out.
Right. I mean, just having the conversation, stopping me on the street. You see my truck on the side of the road. Like, I love that. I love connecting with people. I love chatting with people. If I can help someone, you know, if people have questions for me, I'm happy to sit there and chat for hours and try to help them. And I always hope for the same when I see, you know, someone I might recognize or a contractor that I might need in my pocket, I'll stop it as well. It's like, hey, you know, this is what we do. Just always opening the conversation, because you're exactly right. You don't know where that might lead. And it could be the best conversation you ever had.
I had a remodel. This is back before the economy tanked in 2008 and all that. I think it was around 2006. I'm driving down the road. I see this van of a builder I'd never seen in our area before. I pick the phone up and I call and I go, hey, are you the guy driving the truck or driving the van on Route 59 right now? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, hey, I paint stuff. And he says, well, we do 50 to 60 basements a year. And I just fired my painter yesterday.
Right.
And so, and that ended up, you know, immediately, like literally overnight, you know, we grew our business by like a third, you know, just because you picked up the phone and took action and talked to another human being.
Right. I mean, I'll scroll. Like on the social media aspect, I'll scroll through feed all day and I follow, I'm super design oriented. So I'm constantly following new products, new designers, architects, and getting ideas from them. That way I can propose them to, prospective clients. And with designers and architects, I'm always weighing in on my opinion because I can usually bring to the table something that we can totally build that they may not have even known was possible. But from that standpoint, we utilize social media as inspiration. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because we're so involved with it and we're constantly bringing new stuff to the table, you know, it's the same thing. If I see a designer that I really like, I'm going to message them. And it's not, hey, I want to work with you. It's, guys, I follow your account. The stuff that you guys are building is really cool. You know, this particular project, I love this detail. Just having a quick conversation, even if it's just a comment that goes to their inbox and dies, there'll be a handful that come back and like, hey, thanks so much. And they might reciprocate with, we follow you as well. And we've been considering reaching out, and possibly working together. And what I did is I reached out first and opened that conversation to the point where they felt comfortable to respond. So if there's a match, you know, with the product that you're trying to sell as a contractor with a designer or an architect that is also selling a very similar product, just open the conversation. And that, I think that's what the root of all of this is just start the conversation with a simple hello and like, there's a human on the other side and humanize that account and see where it goes.
Love it. Well, Nick, listen, as we wrap up here, I wanted to just give you a minute to share a little bit about your Modern Craftsman podcast. Where can they find it? What do you got going on over there? Because I know it's some good stuff.
Absolutely. So we are on Instagram at @the_modern_craftsman. And then our website is themoderncraftsman.org. It can be found on any podcast platform that you guys may be listening to. Basically myself, John Horahan, and Tyler Grace, we all host this podcast, basically highlighting, exactly what it is, the Modern Craftsman. And we are trying to, in conjunction with the Keep Craft Alive and Next Generation with This Old House, I mean, we're trying to promote the trade as a whole and really put that, really instill that the trades are a great place to work and you can make a great career out of it. And again, it's just the amount of effort that you're willing to put into it will directly relate to the success you get out of it. So helping promote the good guys and the companies that are really pushing towards, you know, quality over quantity and craftsmanship. And really just, it's basically the three of us having a conversation with maybe a guest or two, just how they're trying to set the bar in their particular aspect of the business.
Good stuff. Well, I'll make sure that we get the links to that and all your other stuff in the show notes for this. And I want to thank you for sharing some wisdom with us here today and carving out some time to make it happen, man.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. We'll see you. And guys, go over and check out the Modern Craftsman podcast. Check out NS Builders on Instagram and online. And with that, Travis, go ahead and bring in the guitars.